Broadcasting live statewide from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who has a black and white plasma TV, Pete Schwabba.
Hey, hey, Wisconsin. Welcome to Nightlight. Great to have you with me on this beautiful Thursday summer night in our wonderful summer state. We're broadcasting live statewide from our downtown studios here at City Deck Landing at WGBW. Riding shotgun, as always, is Conrad. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great.
Are you? You're a little wired yesterday. You feeling better today? You got that coffee buzz gone?
Well, I actually did have a Diet Dr. Pepper not too long ago, so.
Diet Dr. Pepper, okay.
Yeah, I think it's better than actual Dr. Pepper, but that's just my opinion.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. I got to tell you, the other day, when I was leaving Madison, I was very tired, didn't sleep well the night before, and I got a real sugar, like sugar cane Dr. Pepper.
Oh, well.
That is fantastic.
Anything with the real stuff is a lot better.
But have you ever met people like, I've told people like, probably isn't my place, but I'll say, you know, they make that in a real sugar, thinking they'd want to avoid high fructose corn syrup based on what we know. And one guy actually said, nah, I like this better. Like he cut me off at the pass. He did not want to hear it. I knew he knew that, but he just didn't want to hear it.
I can't believe someone said that's better to have high fructose corn syrup.
Well, it doesn't taste better either. The real sugar tastes much better. I sense a question coming out of that somehow in the near future. Best real sugar soda.
You know, I already have an answer, and that's Fanta.
Do they make one?
Yeah, that's the drink I pretty much had all the time when I was in Italy.
What, like orange or?
Yeah, just an orange Fanta, but it's made with real sugar.
It's with sugar cane. No kidding.
It's so good. And then they don't have any like high fructose corn syrup like soda over there.
Yeah, because if you tell people they shouldn't drink high fructose corn syrup here, you're like a communist or an authoritarian dictator. It's like, no, we're trying to save lives, and it affects all of us when you get sick with your high fructose corn syrup. I like the Mountain Dew, too. I try not to drink any of it, but I do, and root beer, of course. All right, that is another talk. We got to table that. I still want to do the body odor question one of these nights, too, about deodorant. That was a fun discussion last week. We got a lot to talk about tonight. It's a What to Watch Thursday, folks. At 8:20, I will read texts of what you guys are planning on watching this weekend. Whether you're going to the Blockbuster, see a Blockbuster film, stay home and stream something. I want to know what you're going to watch this weekend. It's a beautiful weekend to stay inside and watch TV. Is it supposed to rain this weekend?
I'm not sure. But, you know, I'm kind of sad, all right?
Why is that?
MILF Manor ended. The finale was last weekend.
Did she pick the husband or the son? Or did some horrible thing happen to the entire set?
It's actually funny. There's like only three couples that made it to like the end thing. And two of them were like, yeah, I don't want to do this really. And one of them was like, oh yeah, we could try. That's it.
But try what? Dating a father and a son?
No, just dating the father. And then, yeah.
It takes a lot to make me cringe. That show is just...
Well, prepared to be like cringe every 5 minutes.
Yeah, I can't see myself watching. I couldn't even watch Bad Boys, which now you can watch in your home for the low price of $20. So I'll wait till you can actually rent it. I do want to watch it. I swear. I've been meaning to see that movie for a long time. Hey, did I hear on Mike Clemens' sports report, Ron Dayne, is he considered the best college running back of all time?
I think that was an opinion.
Because of the yardage, right?
Yeah.
I mean, the guy was a beast.
Yeah, he was.
But best all time. I saw that and almost pulled off the road. That's ridiculous. What am I going to do? Pull off the road and contemplate that for 2 minutes? What a silly thing. He was phenomenal, though. All those Badger running backs were fun to watch.
My favorite one to watch was Melvin Gordon.
Loved Melvin Gordon.
He had one of the best running back like seasons for Badgers. It was great.
I liked all Frank White, Monty Ball. There was like 10 years there where they just were great, but...
Well, this year is the first year. I mean, we still got Ches Malusi, who's going to be good, I think.
Yeah, he's good.
It's been a long time since we haven't had a good running back.
But the other dude went pro.
Yeah, Braylon Allen.
Braylon Allen. Someone will step up, too, and be behind.
We haven't heard yet. It's just going to come out of nowhere.
I just want to say Presbalewski, like the guy from The Wire. What's his name again?
Ches Malusi.
Malusi. I can never say his name. Yeah, but Melvin Gordon had that great game. And then the record got broken a week later.
Yeah.
It was so horrible.
Yeah.
I've never seen that. That's maybe the greatest college football game for a running back ever. Not from a yardage standpoint now, but just against that competition.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was great. Great to have you with me tonight, folks. And Conrad and I will be talking about, as promised, before we introduce our guests here, it is National Wine and Cheese Day. So our question tonight, what is your favorite wine and cheese combo? Do you like Cheese Whiz and Knott's Berry? Or do you like something a little higher class? That's tonight's question. What is your favorite wine and cheese combo? 855-752-4842, 855-752-75-CIVIC, 855-75-CIVIC. Also, you can let us know what you're going to watch this weekend. We'll read it at 8:20 on a What to Watch Thursday. Tonight on the show, from Comedy Sports in Milwaukee, we're going to talk some comedy and some improv with Mike Kauth. Comedy Sports has become an institution in Milwaukee, and I want to say they've been around for over 40 years now, which is pretty impressive. And we'll talk to Mike at 7:35. And then Civic Media's own sports director and huge fan of the show, The Boys, Jimmy Cuska, will be here at 8:35, right, Conrad? 8:35, I think.
Yeah. Yes.
So we always have fun talking about whatever we talk about with Jimmy. We'll talk some sports, Packers training camp, Brewers, and we'll talk about The Boys. And he seemed like he was excited about Wolverine and Deadpool. Or is it Deadpool and Wolverine?
I'm so excited. I want to. That's the what I'm going to watch.
Let's just say
I'm going to go to that.
All right. Put that down so I can read that at 8:20. Conrad. But let's just say I haven't seen any of the other Deadpool movies. Would I be lost if I went to see this one?
Yeah, I would. Because it's kind of, you got to understand how Deadpool gets intertwined with the X-Men. So kind of got to understand that first.
And they do that
in the second one.
Second one. Okay. Yeah. All right. Maybe I'll try to check that out. I'm a little behind. I did watch Thelma the other night. Did not love it. 100% on Rotten Tomatoes. It's about like a 90-year-old woman who gets scammed. And she goes and tracks down the teenage kid that scams her. It's based on a true story. And it's not like it wasn't like a charming, fun little film. Richard Roundtree's in it. Parker Posey. But it just, It drew comparisons to like Mission Impossible because she takes the law into her own hands and she's kind of a renegade. But I'll take Tom Cruise.
You know, that kind of sounds like what happened in The Beekeeper too. Like at the beginning.
Yeah, right. Yeah. She got scammed. Yes. Yeah. And that was a little more fun to me. Like this was.
I liked The Beekeeper. It was a good movie.
I liked
movie.
It a lot. It got a little crazy at the end. It turned into that thing yeah. where they shoot a bazillion shots at a guy at point blank range and miss him. And then he kills 40 guys.
Yep.
Okay.
I love at the end when he just jumps into the water.
Yeah. No, that was a good film. I liked it. All right. So I'm going to put this out there. I had a dream last night. Do you ever have a dream?
No, I've never had a dream.
Let me finish. Have you ever had a dream? You are hopped up on something over there on that other side of the glass.
I might be.
Dr. Pepper. But you ever have a dream that you wake up and you're still mad at someone for something that happened in the dream? And you have trouble shaking it all day. This happened to me last night. I just woke up and I was so mad at my wife all day because in the dream, we were in a drive-thru together. This probably was sparked by our question last night. In the dream, we were in a drive-thru together. And my wife is talking incessantly while I am trying to flirt with the cute drive-thru girl. And I was getting so irritated. And then I woke up and I was mad at her all day. That's a promo, Conrad, right there. Book it.
You know, that actually was, I remember the Friends episode when Phoebe's mad at Ross.
Why?
Because of the dream she had.
Oh, I don't remember. What's that one?
She was mad at Ross, like, the whole episode. And then Ross was like, can you just tell me why you're mad at me? And then she explains the dream. She's like, oh, that probably didn't happen, actually.
I remember the one where Rachel had the dream that she had sex with Joey and Chandler. And Ross was mad that he wasn't included on that.
Yeah.
That was funny. Hey, it's Matt LeBlanc's birthday today too, right? How old is he? 57?
Yep.
I always thought the Friends were lying about their ages. Like, when it first came out of the scene, I thought Courtney Cox was much older, and I think she is older. Because Matthew Perry was only like 53, I think, when he died. So in 94, what is he would have been like 24, 25? That's young. But I thought they were all older, but I know Phoebe and Monica were older.
Yeah, Courtney Cox is 60.
She's 60, right. And Chandler, Matthew Perry died at 53. So she might have been like 30, 31. I knew she was, and they were trying to pass her off as 25, which was not a huge stretch. I bought it, but kind of thought they were full of it. So yeah, what is your favorite wine and cheese combo, folks? That's our question tonight. Let us know. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Caddyshack was dropped. I say dropped, like I'm using the current vernacular, but we didn't say dropped back in 1980. Caddyshack was released on this day in 1980. We've got some clips of Caddyshack coming up. We've got some Step Brothers, which was also released today. And we have to ask Jimmy about the Twinges. We had Matt Eisman on a couple weeks ago. The two Twinges from Madison, I think it's Marquez and
Nathan,
are competing on American Ninja Warrior. I did not watch the episode on Monday, so I don't know what happened. And it's really, they're keeping that under wraps pretty impressively because you can't find it on the web.
So I cannot find it. I need to watch it though.
Yeah, I was curious too. I just couldn't. I mean, we were on the air when the show was on, so. So that's what we're doing tonight. Mike Kauf will be here shortly at 7:35, and Jimmy Cuska at 8:35. Fun show. Steve-O is coming to the PAC. Did we say that last night?
We didn't, but you did say it in a beat.
In a beat, yeah. Yep. He is one of the Jackass cast members, and you can see Steve-O. I don't know how funny Steve-O is by himself, but he'll be at the PAC coming up. You can buy tickets, I think, on Friday, and he's expected to remain fully clothed. So, winning. We've got a lot of show, folks, and we're glad you're with us. This is Nightlight with Peach Wabba on the Civic Media Radio Network. Oh man. Don't wanna argue, I don't wanna debate. Those are the magical pipes of Weird Al Yankovic, who, by all accounts, I've never met him, but is supposed to be just a really nice guy. And I mean, how can you go wrong when your lyrics include get yourself an egg and beat it? It's just beautiful. So Eat It was released today, I want to say in 1980 something or other. So that's that. I finished the show Presumed Innocent last night, the Jake Gyllenhaal show on Apple TV. David Kelly is one of the executive producers. J.J. Abrams, really like serious heavy hitters behind this show. And it was great. And I don't even remember. I saw the movie years ago with Harrison Ford. I think I even read the book by Scott Turow in the 80s. But it was really well done. I was still, they kept you guessing right until the end. And it's not totally unpredictable the way it ended, but I still like the ending and how they sort of wrapped everything up after the killer was revealed. Really well done show. If you guys are looking for something to watch, Presumed Innocent on Apple TV. As I said, Thelma I thought was very boring. So not a bad watch. Depends what you're in the mood for. I'll tell you, I would recommend Thelma. They got 100% on Rotten Tomatoes over this movie coming out this weekend, The Fantastic Four, with Susan Sarandon, Bette Midler, Bruce Green. That got a 15%, and I'm sure it's all tropey and lame jokes. Thelma is not that funny. It's a sweet story. It's just not that exciting either. They kind of sell it as like a parody of Mission Impossible with a 75-year-old woman in the Tom Cruise role. But there's a reason Tom Cruise is Ethan. What's his name? Ethan Hawke?
Yeah.
No, that's an actor.
Oh.
Ethan. Do we even know his last name in the movies? Or is it just Ethan?
I thought you were talking about Ethan Hawke. I don't know.
No. Ethan Hawke's a fine actor. Also, it's another big day for me. I got a few things going on that made me feel pretty good about myself. I had a LinkedIn anniversary. So that's exciting when people reach out to you on LinkedIn. I get all these like reminders in my inbox in my mail. Hey, so-and-so who you haven't talked to in 3 years says congrats. I'm like trying to figure out what LinkedIn thing I did that has an anniversary. It can't be Civic Media. Could be PBS, I guess. I don't know. Are you on LinkedIn, Conrad?
Yeah.
Yeah. Has it paid off?
I didn't get my job here from there, so.
Yeah. So thanks for nothing, LinkedIn.
Exactly.
That's what I thought when I got my first like 200 connections. So long, suckers. And some great birthdays too. A couple exes of mine. Linda Carter turned 74 this week. Did you know we dated?
I did not.
Do you know who Linda Carter is?
I didn't know that you dated her. That's for sure.
Okay, but do you know who she is?
Yeah, Linda Carter?
Yeah.
Wonder Woman.
Okay. Jeez, it took you long enough to spit that out. I thought you were stalling. You were Googling the whole time you were like playing dumb that you didn't know who she was.
Well, so take me through. How'd you guys start dating?
It was just, we did a round of speed dating in the 80s before it caught on. And she said she liked the cut of my jib, but thought it was weird. I did it topless. Whatever. It worked out. It was fine. We had a great time together. She's a great girl. I wasn't ready to settle down yet, though. I was only 42. So anyway, Caddyshack, folks. It is the, you know, we got some text. Let's get to the text, then we'll talk about Caddyshack. Because this is a good, Ethan Hunt. Yes, thank you, Robert from McFarland. Ethan Hunt. I knew they used his last name. I just couldn't think of it. So it's Wine and Cheese, National Wine and Cheese Day, folks. This is not anything local. This is a national holiday. What is your favorite wine and cheese combo? That is tonight's question, and the text line is blowing up. Let's get to the text. Anna from the 608 says, hi, Pete and Conrad. My favorite wine and cheese combo is... Oh. Yeah, not a wine guy. What is that? Prosecco? Prosecco.
No, you say that? You had it.
Prosecco.
Yeah.
Just how it spells.
I believe that's how you say it.
You say just how... That's not very exotic. It should be something I can't pronounce. Anna says, my favorite wine and cheese combo is Prosecco and mozzarella. Interesting. I was not expecting to hear mozzarella, but she's got the Italian flag there. So are you Italian, Anna? Does that play into your choice? Way to start us off, though. Thank you, Anna. Robert from McFarland says, wine, gross. Beer, baby. Can't we all get along, Robert? Really? Gross? But I have found a mix of wine and cheese with a Bella Vitano Merlot cheese that is to die. Oh, interesting. So you like your beer with a Bella Vitano Merlot cheese. So you don't hate wine in all of its derivations, to be fair, Robert. I'm not a beer guy. Conrad, you're a beer guy, right?
Definitely.
Yeah. Take it or leave it. Steve from Florida checking in. Con man's dad. Widmer's brick cheese. Teresa, Wisconsin, and a cold.
Theresa.
What is it?
Theresa.
Theresa?
Yeah.
Is this like an April Fool's joke? You reached out to all the texters and said, hey, mess with Pete tonight. Theresa. Why would you pronounce that like that?
Well, how would you say it?
Teresa.
Well, no.
That's how you spell Teresa.
Well, it's a Wisconsin city. So what do you think?
I think they should call it Teresa. That's like a city named Pete, and they call it Pete. I'm kidding. If you're listening, Teresa, Theresa?
You got it.
All right, Theresa, Wisconsin. And a cold line in Kugel Summer Shandy. All right, I said I'm not a beer guy. I do like the Summer Shandy. I do like a Spotted Cow and a Stella and a Corona. Maybe I am a beer guy. Steve says, a winning Wisconsin combination. That sounds great, Steve. Boy, it sounds good right about now. Andrew from Verona says, favorites, Ancestral, pet gnat from American Wine Project in Mineral Point, then Rush Creek Reserve from Uplands Cheese in Dodgeville. Keeping it local. I like that, Andrew. I don't know. I am not a wine and cheese guy, so I'm getting an education here, folks. I appreciate this. And Robert again says Ethan Hunt. Of course, Robert set us straight. Thank you, Robert, for that. Probably took a big swig of his beer after providing us with the appropriate Mission Impossible character name. Carla from Baraboo. Aunt Carla checking in. No wine for me, but beer and fried cheese curds. The fresh grapes. Oh, man. So she is going really like old school, keeping it real. There's nothing pretentious about these answers. Well, there's a little Prosecco.
Well, you have to have the right Wisconsin cheese curd. If it's some, you know, not that great fried, got to throw it out.
If it's the squeaky stuff, I got no room for it. I can't do it. I don't think, I honestly, I would have to eat that on the way to the bathroom because I will vomit. Theresa, Wisconsin. I didn't know that. Theresa, if you're listening, I love you. I'm glad I know about your existence now, and I will never, thanks to the embarrassment I suffered here on my own radio show, I will never mispronounce the name of Teresa. Theresa! Theresa, Wisconsin again. That's what we'll do. All right, Mike Kalth coming up, 7:35. We're going to talk some improv and comedy. Great to have you with us on this Thursday night. Let us know what your favorite wine and cheese combo is. If you have to throw beer in there, you could do that. And it doesn't have to be good cheese. Cheese whiz, fine. Cheese curds, whatever. Let us know. This is Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. So now they're coming in. This is Jim from Appleton says, a good Zinfandel and Brie. Jim sounds like a very refined person. You like Brie, Conrad?
I don't think I've tried it, to be honest.
Yeah, it's okay. Like most cheese, when I eat it, I like it. But when I look at it, it's like 50-50. Am I going to vomit or not? 60-40. Ronnie from Horicon says, Widmer's Cheese Cellars, located in Theresa.
You got it.
Wisconsin. Has been in business since 1922, manufacturing Wisconsin cheese. Come and try Wisconsin's best cheese. Source Widmer's Cheese Cellars. Look at that. Ronnie getting some free advertising for his favorite place to go for cheese. Very nice. What is your favorite wine and cheese combo? That's tonight's question. Get in on the fun at 8:20. It's What to Watch Thursday. And we'll have Jimmy Cuska on after that at 8:35 to talk sports and about The Boys. What did you do on The Boys? Did you watch it? But you gave up on it, right?
I'm on the fourth episode. I don't know. I just started watching Cobra Kai, so.
Oh, you're going Cobra Kai over The Boys.
Well, because I've seen all the seasons up to this last one, so.
Oh, I thought you were going to say because you like martial arts. All right. This is exciting. I've got this. This is our this next guest, second time on Nightlight, but it's been a while since he's been on. He's part of this legacy that is comedy sports. It's been around for over 40 years in Milwaukee, and he joins us now, Mike Kalth. Mike, how are you?
Hey, doing good, Pete.
Glad
doing
to hear it.
Good. Yeah, good to say it.
Yeah, I bet it's, you know, beats the alternative, right?
Yes, sir.
So how are you?
Doing good. Doing good. We've been busy down here in Milwaukee.
Have you?
Yeah. I think I was telling you a little bit about the championships we got coming up here in Milwaukee. That starts next week. July 31st is when that's happening. We have a whole bunch of different teams, over 15 different teams from around the country coming in to compete in different matches. So trying to make the place look nice and shiny for everybody when they come in.
How long of a production is that? Does that go on like over a week, or is it all in a couple of crazy nights? How does that work?
Yeah, we have four nights. of this. And Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, there are six different matches because we have two theaters. So you can come and see six different shows in that night. And then the final night, Saturday, August 3rd, there's five shows. The last show is like the big championship match between the two final teams to see who wins the actual championship of comedy sports.
How fun. That's so great. Yeah. And then I love that because there's so much comedy going on in Wisconsin. You've got,
yes,
we've got a Let Me Be Frank production going on tonight, and they're always happening. Madison Comedy Week starts like August 5th or 6th. And then before that in Milwaukee, we've got this great institution that is comedy sports, bringing the funny to the people. So, when you do this, is that like people who are like, I know like Second City calls it the main stagers. You guys have like regulars, I assume. And is it the best of the best just kind of squaring off?
Yeah. Especially with the championships, like each city sends four of their players to compete. And since it's coming to Milwaukee, we are doing, I believe we're doing four different matches that week, those few days. So, everybody wants to play in them. It's always tough because it's just like, how do you choose? We're really lucky in Milwaukee. Like, we just have such a great, talented group of people. And, we're talking like Wisconsin, it's just like the amount of talent that you can just find in these nooks and crannies of, Cudahy and Menominee Falls, just all these places around Milwaukee. So many talented people.
I'm kind of fascinated because, comedy sports, I think I told you the story. I was in an improv group in college and a guy from comedy sports came down. He was trying to, drum up some interest in comedy sports. And I don't know if it was like this back then where you guys just do improv, but you don't do sketch. It's all improv, correct?
Correct.
Yeah. So it amazes me that you've made it more specific. Like Second City does sketches, they do all these kind of different things and improv, but to have the run you guys have had for as long as you've had and only focus on improv and that sweet science of improv is really cool.
Yeah. I hand it to Dick Chudnow and Bob Orvis. Those two guys were the ones that started Comedy Sports. And it's that idea of making it, the sports theme, having the two different teams, having the different fouls. It's that thing that captures the audience. And the big thing, like when we have, as we like to call them, our fans, we like to, because the whole sports theme, when our fans come to watch a match, we try and make sure that we make it about them. We want them to be entertained. I think that's why we've been around for so long and found success is they give the suggestions. We love to get volunteer fans to come up and help us out with games. Like, we really want them to be a part of the match. We don't want it to be just like a spectator sport, right?
Yeah, right.
We want to get them involved.
So that's a big thing too. That keeps them coming back too, I would assume. That's a great tactic.
I gotta make it up there and then you can shake off some of that rust from the college improv group. We can do some improv up there, Pete.
I don't know if you have enough time for me to shake off all that rust, but I would be happy to try. So what sets comedy sports? I just mentioned Second City in Chicago. What sets comedy sports, other than No Sketch, apart from Second City or a Groundlings? You guys have your own philosophies or theory or proven strategy. Obviously, you've been around a long time. You're doing something right. Is it some type of strategy you have within improv?
I think the great thing about improv is it's already sort of a team activity. You're there to make the other people look good. And I think some of that feeds into the success. Like, when you're up on the playing field, you want to set up the other person with you, make them look good, make sure they're having fun. And really, we're all doing it because we love to perform. I think, like, and I'm not saying that people at Second City or IO or Groundlings don't want to do that, but I think sometimes there's like an end goal in certain places like that. Like, what's the next level? Where am I going to go after this? Like, once I get through with Groundlings, can I get to Saturday Night Live? And, definitely people come through CSC Milwaukee with different aspirations, but it's that thing of just like finding an outlet for the hilarious creative guy who's a lawyer during the day. Here's that outlet. So I think like a lot of times it's based on like community, like people who have families but are still looking to scratch that itch of creativity or have different elements that, you know, things that tie them down, but this is still an outlet for creativity.
Yeah. Interesting. You've been all over. I was reading your bio just to kind of refresh myself about all things Mike Kalth. And you went to Chicago, you did some time there, you went to LA, you're back in, I know it's easy to kind of go back home. I did it too. But was it something about, was it more family or was it more comedy sports related that brought you back to Milwaukee?
Yeah, I love doing comedy sports, and I realized how lucky I was to be a part of something like comedy sports. And that took me trying these different things, going different places. Because I would go when I was living in Los Angeles, that was fun too, but I'd go on these auditions and I'd be sitting there and talking to people and be like, oh, he'd be really good in this commercial. Oh, that's great. And there you really have to be your product. You really have to sell yourself. And I love the idea of what I've got to do in Milwaukee is put on matches, put on different improv shows whenever I wanted, around family, around friends, and around these people that were just so talented and funny. Like, I missed working with so many of the improvisers that were located in Milwaukee. Like, those are the people that you connect with. Those are the people you can really get that magic going. I started, if I can plug another thing, if you don't mind.
Yeah, absolutely.
I do a show called One Star Review, and that happens at CSE Milwaukee every so often, like once every other month. And the next show is August 9th at 8 p.m. And that's a show that I just grabbed people who just make me laugh, people I love hanging out with, and just throwing them in a show and going up on stage. And a lot of times in different places, you got to pay to get on stage or you got to put in your dues. And it's just like in Milwaukee, you can put on a show. If you want to do a show, you can.
Yeah, right.
And that's such a wonderful luxury that it's just like being able to do the thing that you love whenever you want is pretty great.
Mike Kalth is here. He is representing Comedy Sport. What is your actual title, Mike, at Comedy Sports? Are you the creative director or?
Some people call me the head coach because I'll run like the player practices and stuff like that.
Nice.
So, and I got a big head, so that works.
You and me both. A friend of mine said once, if your head was any bigger, it would be in a museum. So there you go. So we have that in common, Mike.
That's why I'm not in the studio. Our heads can't fit.
It's so funny what you were saying too. It just reminded me about LA. And I remember when I first moved there and I was taking acting classes, I'm like, God, everyone in this class is good. Like, I could see any one of them in a show or a commercial. It's just like there's not enough stages or shows or something. And it was like that when I took acting in Chicago too, but not quite to the like three or four of the guys and girls I took acting with ended up on shows. And it's like that's what you're competing against. And part of the thing that's so great about doing improv or stand up even or sketch is that you want to be able to do it. So if you could move to a city where it's appreciated and get even more stage time, that just makes a lot of sense to me too. Mike, go ahead. Yeah.
Did you feel like a pressure to take acting classes? Like you wanted to do comedy, like when you were doing stand up, did people tell you like, oh, you have to get into acting, you have to do that?
You know, I was going to ask you about that, but since you brought it up, yes, I one of the things I always, the people I admired growing up were like the people who wrote and performed, you know, Woody Allen, Albert Brooks, people that wrote their own material and acted it. That's what I loved. And I don't know why I guess I felt stand-up was less competitive than acting. Like, here's Schwab mentality. I'm going to be a stuntman. I'm going to be a stuntman so I can segue into acting. Well, just study acting, idiot. Like, why would you, like, I'm going to work at McDonald's so I can be in the commercials, you know? I mean, that's kind of what, that was my way of thinking back then. But yeah, I think everybody, stand-ups, and obviously, I mean, God, there's a fly in here, Mike, sorry. And actors, especially improv and sketch people, want to act, right? That's what you're doing already. Right. So why wouldn't you want to do it at a higher level, I guess?
True.
Yeah. What's the difference, Mike, between long-form improv and short-form?
Yeah, short-form is, people are very familiar with, like, whose line is it anyway? That is, short-form is games. You have, you know, the rules going in. There's usually sort of like a gimmick or an idea to it. You get a suggestion. Usually it's over in 3 to 4 minutes. It's pretty fast-paced, quick-moving. Long form, there's a lot of different styles of that as well. The most famous one is probably a Herald, which has like a kind of a three-act structure that you can sometimes take your time with, really build the story out. And there's no set kind of like, okay, like one of a really fun comedy sports game is like forward reverse. You'll be doing a scene, everything will be going forward, referee blows the whistle, everything starts going backward. You start saying the lines in backwards of the sequential order, and then tweet, you know, forward, and you go back and forth, and you just keep moving as quickly as you can, trying to remember the lines forward and backward.
Nice.
That's very fun, but that long form gives you time to kind of create, like, you figure out the rules, you figure out what's going
on. That's great. Mike Kalth is my guest. He joins us from Milwaukee. We're talking comedy, sports, and improv, and all things comedy. We'll have more with Mike coming up next on Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back. Our question tonight is, what is your favorite wine and cheese combo? It's national, ladies and gentlemen, National Wine and Cheese Day. Ross from Crawford County says, first drink a bottle of any kind of wine and then a small cube of Limburger. Not sure if that's pairing or hiding. Wow, that sounds like a really delicious snack and a really fun evening at home, Ross. Thank you for sharing that. Also, we already read that one. Okay. Mike Kalth is with us from Comedy Sports in Milwaukee, the institution that has been in Milwaukee for over 40 years now. Mike, I saw in your resume, too, that, what was Improv Olympic like? Is that different from Second City or Comedy Sports?
It is. They lean on, when I was there, they were teaching the Herald for the most part. But what was great about that is, like, you went through those classes. They focused on, like, long form improvisation. And they taught me to, like, be comfortable with, like, silence on stage.
Yeah.
If you can find that, like, great. Like, nothing can kind of shake you.
Yeah.
You know? And just building that trust between you and your scene partner up there. And then what was cool is you went through the workshops, and then the last, like, level was you and your class figuring out what form you wanted to do, what strengths you played to. And then they let you have, I think it was like 8 weeks of shows after that. That was really fun to do. And that was, you know, I always wondered if I should have just moved to Chicago. But what was great is I got to perform down at IO. They were nice enough to put me on a house team down there. And at the same time, I was driving back and forth doing comedy sports in Milwaukee, driving down to Chicago, doing IO. And it was just, it's one of those things, like, in your early mid 20s, just soaking in and doing as much comedy as possible. I don't know if I could handle that these days.
It seems like there'd be competition there with the sports theme between Improv Olympic and comedy sports, like who is more athletic or
It's interesting. Like, they're not, and I could be wrong about this, but I don't believe they're allowed to call themselves Improv Olympic anymore.
Oh, is that right?
They have to call themselves IO because the Olympics was like,
ah. No. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's lame. I knew. All right. So I think I told you last time we were on the show, I was a stand-up in the 90s in Chicago, and I performed at Zany's a lot right around. And I thought I had to choose, you know, because I liked improv. Oh, yeah. I liked sketch. I liked writing sketch, and I liked writing stand-up. It was a stand-up boom, so I think I went with stand-up. But I was always in awe of the guys like Bob Odenkirk and some of these guys that did both. And that really blew me away. Two of the guys that did that were Matt Walsh and Matt Besser, both really good guys. Please tell me, because I don't get this. They were doing open mics, and then the next thing I know, they started the Upright Citizens Brigade with Amy Poehler and another guy. How did they... That is a meteoric rise, what happened with them. It seems like overnight, Upright Citizens Brigade was a big thing, and there was the UCB Theater and all this. What did they do differently, and how did they achieve that success?
I think it's... I think part of it is that they appealed, like, they kind of opened it up to creative minds, right? Where I think a lot of times when newer places start, you're opening up to people who might not have a voice or might not have space to perform. And I think those four specifically being so talented and being so funny, like, people just wanted to work with them, right? Huh. And they had learned under Del Close, who along with Sharna Help, they did IO, they started that. So I think, like, taking those teachings and trying to, like, push them even further kind of into that kind of alternative comedy sphere was very exciting at that time. And interestingly enough, you mentioned, like, the other guy was Ian Roberts, just happened, right. He actually did Comedy Sports. He lived in Milwaukee briefly and did Comedy Sports. So, like, what are the odds?
You guys have a great alumni network there. I know, didn't you have the guys that did, what's the show on Cartoon Network that was so popular?
It's Rick and Morty. Dan Harmon.
Yeah, that's a huge, great show. Were they comedy sports guys?
They were, yeah. Well, Dan Harmon was, and he created that, and he created Community as well.
Oh, right. Okay.
And then his partner, creative partner, was like Rob Schraub, who did, like, the comic book Scud the Disposable Assassin. They both worked on the Sarah Silverman program, wrote Monster House. They just talented guys. Our paths never crossed, but I've heard some very interesting stories about those two guys. They seem like they were pretty darn fun.
That's cool. What did you spent time on your resume? I saw you spent time at the UCB. What was that enjoyable? Did you enjoy your time there?
I did. That was really fun. That was, for me, when I went through there, that was a very welcoming environment. It was kind of a throwback to, like, what I was saying when I was going back and forth from Milwaukee to Chicago. It was that thing of meeting all these people who were so excited to be a part of the theater. And the theater that I went to was just this little theater. And they would just pack it in every night.
So great.
And it just felt electric. It was really cool to be a part of.
I love those intimate theater experiences. My Aunt Jeanette was part of a group called Friends of the Zoo, and she came up through Second City. And the shows, I would go watch them, and there's like 28 seats. You know, and it was just like, but they were packed in, and the stage was kind of down on the ground. It was such a great intimate theater experience. And if people haven't had those experiences, I cannot recommend them enough. It's so much fun. Can you stick around for a few minutes after the news? Can we just steal you for a few more minutes, Mike?
For sure. I'd love it, Pete.
Before that, I have to ask you, how did you get your nickname, Mike the Mouth Couth? Is that just because it rhymes with Couth, or are you a big mouth, Mike?
That was, we had a player, Angelo Farina, who blessed me with that nickname.
Nice.
He was Angelo the Godfather Farina. There's a local radio station, WKLH. He was Mort Snotlocker on there. And hilarious guy. And he just, one day, he was just like, Mike the Mouth Kauf. And from that point on, that's what I was.
I catapulted you to fame. You owe him a big thank you.
Yeah.
All right. My guest is Mike Kauf. He's gracious enough to stay with us for a few minutes after Civic Media's award-winning news team keeps you informed. This is Pete Schwab at Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.